الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I want to remind myself and you today about the next step in the process where we began with looking at the four steps of tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq, the four steps by which it is possible to understand this deen and to practice this deen. And then we talked about the resource that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, the charging of the battery, the issue of the salat of tahajjud and the importance of that salah. And then we spoke about the issue of dua and the power of dua. Today I want to remind myself and you about where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you remember me, I remember you. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. So be grateful to me, thankful to me, and do not deny my blessings. I want to remind myself and you of the importance, as I said on the first day, I think, the importance of the ihsas of reading and listening to the kalam of Allah Jalla Ala even before understanding the meaning of it. In my view, the understanding the meaning is the second step. It is not the first step. The first step is just to understand and realize, where are you, what are you doing? And then comes the next step of understanding the meaning of what we are saying or what we are hearing. And with that perspective, just think about this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. What is the meaning of this? And the tashri of this ayah is in the Hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when my slave remembers me within himself, I remember him within myself. And when he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering better than his gathering. What is the meaning of that? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are in majalis like this, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this majlis into such a majlis. When we are in majalis like this, which are held only and only for the remembrance of Allah, there is no other reason. We are not here to do business, we are not here to do networking, we are not here to make friends, we are not here for some social purpose, we are not here to have a dinner or a lunch or something. We are here only and only to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means that insha'Allah al-musta'an, when we are here to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembering us by name on His arsh. By name. What is the value of that? If we get a phone call now, today, just now as we are sitting here, if we get a phone call from this king or that president, or, you know, I mean, I don't know how many of you know kings and presidents, but alhamdulillah, I happen to know some. The Prime Minister of Guyana came to India. We used to work together. He was a good, very good friend of mine. The Guyanese ambassador called and he said, the Prime Minister is coming on so-and-so date and he wants to meet you. So would you mind coming to Delhi? And some Prime Minister of some country wants, a small country in South Africa, in South America. But a Prime Minister is a Prime Minister. So just the thought, just the issue that this big man remembered me makes you feel so happy and makes you feel, oh, subhanAllah, I am something. Somebody mentioned, so-and-so mentioned your name. The Sheikh was speaking in this big conference and he mentioned your name. Well, how happy you feel. You didn't even know that Shaykh knew you. تعالى الله الأمثال. We do not compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to some Shaykh or to some king. But just for the sake of understanding what the meaning of the ayat is, what must be our ihsas? What must be the feeling in our heart when we contemplate and reflect on this ayah to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembering me? Think about this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us one more tool. And what is that tool? Combination of two things. And as I always say, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined two or more things in an ayah, the combination is equally important as the sequence of that combination. Which comes first, which comes next is very important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ista'inu, O you who believe, take the help of, ista'inu what? Bisabri wa salah. If you take this as a sentence in Arabic, and if it was to be said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis salati was sabr, it would be correct. Grammatically, nothing wrong with that. In terms of Arabic grammar, like if you are writing a sentence, if you say, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis salati was sabr, there is no problem with that grammatically. But that is not the ayat of the Quran. Allah did not say so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Awal sabr, ba'da salah. So what is sabr? To understand sabr, the tafsir of the kalam of Allah, the first place to look for the meaning and tafsir of the ayah is the kalam of Allah itself. The ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the tafsir of the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is sabr? If you look in Suratul Anfal and Suratul Al Imran and other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word sabirin for mujahideen. So what is sabr? Sometimes we feel sabr is to just simply sit and wait. There is a problem, so I am having sabr. What is the meaning of having sabr? What are you doing? Nothing. So to do nothing seems to be our understanding of sabr. But the explanation of sabr, understanding of sabr as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained is not to do nothing, but to do the ultimate and the utmost. What is a bigger example of total commitment? Total commitment, including the willingness to lay down your life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is an example of total commitment which is bigger than jihad? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the mujahidun sabirun. The understanding of this now, to go to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best example is the example of the Battle of Badr. Which did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Which did he do first? The Battle of Badr, the incident is the tafsir of this ayah of Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Which did he do first? When did he stand in Masjid al-Nabawi and make dua? Or did he first go to Badr, made all the preparations, laid down the battle lines? When everything was done, then he stood. And he said, Oh Allah, if these are finished, there will be no one to take your name on the face of the earth. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. First sabr, first complete commitment, total commitment, and then raise the hands. Then raise the hands. And the Sahaba learned this lesson. And the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, learned this lesson. And that is why they did not understand the meaning of sabr to sit inside some masjid or to sit inside some their house or somewhere and just make dua, oh Allah, change this, change that. No. They made complete effort. Complete effort. And when all was said and done, then they stood and they raised their hands. From the Seerah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, there is a story which is narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, where he mentions the battle of Qadsiyah. And he said, when we went there and we saw it's either Qadsiyah or Yarmouk, one of the two. Yarmouk was against the Romans, the Roman legions. And he said, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that we raised our hands and we called to Allah and we said, Ya Rabba Muhammad, unsur ummata Muhammad. Ya Rabba Muhammad, unsur ummata Muhammad. Ya Rabba Muhammad, unsur ummata Muhammad. And he said, we saw the sky opened. We saw the sky opened and cavalry descended. Mounted riders descended, and he said, we could see the sun shining on the tips of their lances. The Sahab understood the meaning of when to ask. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ista'inu bisabri wassalat. And then what does Allah say? What will happen if you follow this sequence? This is the beauty of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not leave it to you to leave it to us to guess. Allah tells us what will happen. What will happen if you follow the sequence of sabr, ultimate effort, total commitment, and then standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. I ask you to reflect on this matter. That supposing you have a need, supposing there's some need, and you go to the king, and you put your application before the king, and you say to the king, I need so many million, I want to do this project, and so on and so forth. And the king says, sure, okay, I will help you. That is one response, I will help you. Another response is the king says, don't worry, I am with you. Is there a difference between these two things? One is he saying, I will help you. The other one is saying, I am with you. When he says, I will help you, there is always a limit to that help. I will help you how much? This much, this much, this much. But when he says, I am with you, what does it mean? It means the king with his entire kingdom, with his entire power, his authority and everything is with you. Allah did not say, I will help you. Allah said, I am with you. Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin. Allah is with the sabirin. Allah did not say Allah will help the sabirin. Allah said, Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin. So we follow the sequence of total commitment and then standing in salah. Why is this sequence? What is the other idea behind this sequence? The other idea behind this sequence, my brothers and sisters, is that this is the essence of tawheed. This is the essence of tawheed. What is the danger of total commitment and total effort? There is a danger in that. What is the danger? The danger is the man starts believing it is my effort because of which I am succeeding. Tawakkul ala al-asbab ash-shirk. I am a self-made man. You would have heard this. In English there is this statement. Absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. But this is people. I am a self-made man. I was nothing. I came from a poor family. Look at me today. Arrogance. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is the danger of total commitment. So total commitment on the one hand is a very good thing. We have to do that completely. All effort, everything. But one danger is you start feeling, when you start seeing the results, you start feeling because of me. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the safety net. The salah is the safety net. Stand here. Stand here, put your head on the ground and say, Ya Rab, none of this will work. All of this effort is worthless if your amr does not come. If your help does not come. I am nothing. Only by your qudrat, only by what you have given me. Every breath I take is your ni'mah. Every word I speak comes from you. Every thought, every idea, every decision comes from you. And that is where our iman is safeguarded. First effort and then standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, the most beautiful explanation of that is the seerah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the incident of the battle of Badr, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa stood and said what? Ya Allah, none of this makes any difference. We have done the best that we could do. But none of this will make any difference. You have to help. You have to help. And that is the essence of Tawheed. The essence of Tawheed is to see something happening from a place and to know that it is not happening from that place, but it is happening by the Amr of Allah. The Fa'il, Al-Haqiqi, is Allah. Not the individual, not the money, not the power, not the authority, not the intelligence, not the education, nothing, nothing, nothing. But why must we do this? Because this is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it is essential for the Muslim. And sometimes people who are in the work of da'wah, they get sidetracked. They get sidetracked. Especially young people. I was speaking at the Islamic University in Malaysia and people come to ask for advice, life coaching and so on, and lot of young people, alhamdulillah, very dedicated, very motivated. We want to do the work of da'wah, this. So I asked them, I said, what are you studying? He said, engineering. I said, how many classes did you attend this year? He said, Shaykh, I really have no time, you know, I'm in this conference, that conference, I'm preparing for this. Please advise me. So I said, you want my advice? Then tell me you will obey the advice. He said, yes, I will. So I said, resign from all of these Dawah organizations that you are member of. Everybody. Resign from all of them. Now he's got shock on him. You tell me, resign from that? Yes, resign from that. Why? I said, because unless you become an engineer, and you become an engineer not by crawling out of the university, but by standing up, until you get a decent degree, nobody will give you the time of day. Nobody will give you the time of day. This is the world today. It may not be a nice world. We may not like it. We might say, well, you know, you must really give importance to the knowledge of ilm, of deen, and so on and so on. But you know and I know that unless you are somebody who is competent and worthy of respect in a worldly sense, the world does not give two hoots for what you are. So you want to do the work of deen, first straighten your life with regard to the dunya. If you are a doctor, be a doctor whose name is globally known. And then with that global name, you come and stand and people look at you and you say, mashallah, look at his dress, look at his beard, look at what he talks, see his tilawat Quran, see his bayan, people will be impressed. And people will listen to you. Why? Because of this. As I told you, this is not the ideal situation. That is not what should happen. But that is how the world is. That is how the world is. And therefore, it is important for us to excel, absolutely excel. The meaning of sabr, whatever you are doing, excel in your profession and then do the work of Dawat al-Islam. The other big benefit of this is that you stay out of the evil of using Islam as your means of livelihood. I have said this a million times and I'm absolutely clear in my mind about this. Do not take money for the work of Islam. That is not the way of the Anbiya. I don't care whether anybody says it is jais or not jais. Maybe it is jais. But if you are taking it, you are doing something which the Anbiya did not do. And the only way that you will avoid that is if you have another source of income. So I always tell people, keep your revenue stream separate from the work of deen. So people say, well, you know, I am doing work of deen 24 hours. Then how will I earn So I said, why are you doing the work of Deen 24 hours? The Anbiya did not do the work of Deen 24 hours. So you are better and bigger than the Nabi. Dawud alayhi salam used to make chainmail armor. Musa alayhi salam had farming. Ibrahim alayhi salam had something else. All Anbiya had their own line of income. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made ghanima halal for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba did not do work of Deen 24 hours. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and his Ansari brother, one day Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu would go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to learn, and his brother would work in the farm, and then he would come back in the night and he would teach him what he learned. And the next day the other one went and he would learn and he would come back and he would teach. What does it tell you? It told you that they used to go on alternate days. So the Sahaba did not do work 24 hours of Deen. The Anbiya did not do work 24 hours of the Deen. And that is why they kept their life clean. They had a separate source of income and they did the work of Deen for free. They never took 1 cent from anybody. And they had Izzah. Now you say that I do work 24 hours for Deen, therefore I have to take money for teaching Quran. I have to take money for teaching Islam. I have to take money. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. As I told you, I'm not making fatwa. If somebody says it's jaiz, you want to do it. But I will tell you that nobody in the world will tell you that the Anbiya did this. No Nabi did that. There is no question of any doubt. Ayat of the Quran are there. Keep your act clean. Total commitment. Get a profession worth the name. And then do the work of Deen. And believe me, you can do a lot. Only can you do a lot of work, alhamdulillah. But you will do that work with a clean conscience, clear conscience, that I am not taking money for this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you izzah. So the tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us is a combination of these two things in that sequence: sabr wa salah, total commitment, and then standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and denying yourself the reality that we are not being modest. The reality is that our effort is worthless if it is not for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this course full of khair and barakah for you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open your hearts to hidayah, to open your hearts to His deen, to fill your lives with His noor, and to make you and use you in the work of His deen, and to accept your effort in the work of His deen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmatullahi. Right.